Member supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Nick, go ahead. All right, I don't know what's going on there. We'll have to straighten
some
it out.
Technical difficulty.
We heard him, but he's not hearing us.
Yeah, all right.
Computers.
We'll straighten that out.
Yeah,
we were
call
trying
about
to.
That?
We were no? trying.
Okay.
No.
What?
Wow.
Are you hearing
good
the delay?
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips and the PC. It is Saturday, the second day of September, Anno Domini 2023, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dennis Worcester.
Anything from you people.
Yeah, he's not hearing us yet.
Yeah, that's okay. Nick, is jumping in here.
Somebody else is going to have to finish it. I can't hear you.
Yep,
yeah,
ahead.
No problem, Nick. We got Nick.
Is he back onto the air now instead of Q?
Yeah, he's on.
Okay.
Yep. So Nick is doing a little bit better, but this is a special show in that we are celebrating completing 33 years on the air. Yes, folks, you have been enduring us for 33 years and answering your computer questions and hopefully enjoying the answers that we've been giving and the entertainment. We start our 34th year, actually, tomorrow. But, you know, we come here every Saturday. We've been now with Jazz, I believe it's 14 years and I think it's
yeah,
2 months. So, yeah, we are the longest running computer talk show in the world. Nobody else nope. does that. There's not, you're going to find any other place. I know there's other folks there. Well, there's this one and that one. Yeah, but we do it live. A lot of those other shows take questions and then they, you know, call the people back later on and make it sound like it's a real show. But no, we do it live without a net. And yeah, sometimes we make mistakes, but other times we have a heck of a lot of fun solving people's issues. And we might make a mistake here and there, but hey, that's what it's all about. So we want to thank all of you listeners for sticking with us. And a number I know of folks have traveled with us from station to station. And we, like I said, been here with Jazz 90.1 for 14 years and still going strong.
Yep.
So, again, if we can get Nick back in there.
He can speak, but he just can't hear us yet.
And I can hear you now.
Okay, good. I had to add myself to the stream. I bet that was it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Can you hear us now, Nick?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, we can,
and
sir. Go ahead, please.
No delay, so he's listening to live.
Take it away, Nick.
Yeah, so go ahead, sir. We haven't heard from you for so long, so inform the listeners a little about what's going on.
Well, back on the beginning of July, so it's been a while, I tore my left quadricep, which makes me sound so athletic, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We're all athletes.
I told you
here.
Not to stand up so fast.
Yeah.
That was about it. I was abseiling down K2 with a Yeti under each arm. And a series of events, dehydrated, ended up in the hospital where they juiced me back up. Then they sent me to rehab, where I still am, to build up my quadricep and my strength. Mm-hmm. And that's where I am now. And that's why I haven't been in the studio. Mm-hmm. First, I couldn't walk.
That's no problem, my friend.
Yeah, then they wouldn't let me walk. but we're getting closer.
All right. You'll be, you know, you just got to take time to heal. I'll let you know one small fact.
Yeah.
As you get older, as the three of us are, you don't bounce back like your 30s. Trust me.
No kidding.
I'm older than you, and trust me, from someone who knows too well.
Yeah, you used to, well, because I was talking with Ben about my PT guy, my physical therapy guy, and we were talking about how, you know, 40 years ago, if I had done this, I'd be back on top within a few days.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's a month and a half so far. So, yeah, yeah. But I did, and I'm exhausted today. I did my exercise. Oh, look at you. I did my exercises today. I don't have PT or physical therapy or occupational therapy today because it's the weekend. But I did my own exercises, and I'm exhausted.
Yeah, that's okay. But don't overdo it.
If this had been before this problem, I could have done all of that and danced all night too. But not now.
Yeah, just go along with the program, do as they say, and you know, we'll get you back here in the studio, not too distant future.
Well, let me say first, thank you to everyone for all of the prayers and good wishes and nonsense that you've sent me. I very much appreciate it. It is very much appreciated. And you guys have done an amazing job on the show. I stay awake for much of it, which is more than I do in the studio. So,
Rob is apparently listening, too, because he's texting us on how to set the board up. I think we've got it.
Oh. Well, we've been doing our best here in the studio, trying to retain as many listeners as we can. But we know that so many have called in and asked for how you're doing and wanted to offer their support and really miss you on the radio. So I'm sure they're very happy to hear your dulcet tones.
Thank you very much. I am delighted.
Rob said that AB switch should be in B.
All right.
Is that where you are? Above PC3?
Behind the scenes, it sounds like.
Yeah,
anytime
I'm in
you do any sort of video conferencing thing, it's like a seance.
Yes.
Can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
Are you there?
Uh-huh.
What would you like
can
us to
know? Can
you
hear me
know?
Now?
Ellie, you're muted.
Yeah.
Every meeting.
You know, it's sort of like the old Horizon commercial. Can you hear me now?
Right.
Exactly.
Can you hear me now?
How about now?
Yeah. So
it is like that. But every meeting.
Yeah.
But that is great to hear, though, sir, that you are doing so much better. And all we can say is, you know, please keep up the good work.
Thank you. I am doing it.
It's hard. It's harder.
It's not easy. It is not. You know, my PT guy comes in and I want to hit him with something.
That's apparently pretty common with physical therapy.
Yeah.
I suppose being a sadist is probably a bonus if you're a physical therapist.
No,
you're not in it for the hugs.
Now, you've got a birthday coming up soon, I believe.
We all do.
Yeah, but you're first in line, though. I believe you're the 10th.
I'm the 10th.
Yep.
Okay.
So, you know, yours is only 8 days away, my friend. And, you know, how old will you be or how young will you be?
I will be 73 years young.
Oh, I was going to say 39 again.
Yeah, what is Jack Benny 39? I actually have that shirt. Me and Jack Benny 39 forever. My wife gave it to me on my 40th birthday.
What is that in hex?
Yeah, it's in hex now.
Pop quiz.
Don't do that. Awful, don't probably. Do that to us.
No, no, no. You just had physical therapy. You got to be nice to this man.
Listen, after PT, I'm feeling every one of those 72 and almost 73 years.
Well, yeah, like I was telling Steve, though, this is actually birthday month for, you know, all the three of us and our show.
That's exactly right. 33 years on the air.
Yes, and congratulations to the three principals here who've been doing sound bites for as long as I can remember.
That's good. The answer is 49.
Ah, in hex?
Yeah, so you're only 49 in hex.
Perfect.
That's exactly. The answer is always 49. But, yeah. So,
even less an octal.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, 33 years on the air, it's not due to us. It's due to all the people who listen.
Yeah.
Keep on listening and tune in every week. I don't know what's wrong with all you people, but we're very grateful that you continue to be as crazy as you are.
Well, like I was saying too, though, Nick, you know, it's also we got to pay tribute to all the folks that have followed us faithfully from one station to the other to finally now here at Jazz 90, 901.
Well, three stations in 33 years is not bad.
That's not bad at all.
No, it really isn't. And let's not forget the people who have found us from other states and from other countries and keep listening. Don't forget, your job is to tell other people.
That's right.
Last week, we had one from Arizona.
I help you, Frank.
And yes. I forget where
Sorry,
else.
Sorry, excuse me a second. Got to get some ice water, please.
But we had a couple out-of-state callers and answering their questions. And again, we always do, asking them to please tell a friend, get the word out there that we're here every Saturday from 12 to 2.
Yep.
And that's for anybody Eastern time.
Who's listening to the podcast, we want to thank you for downloading and subscribing to the podcast. Be sure to tell a friend, post online about us, let other people know what you find interesting or funny about us because,
we certainly
Danny
don't know.
Knows, yeah, we're clueless.
We're clueless.
Because our families don't agree.
No. No, they're glad that they get to ship us here.
No, they just treat us like mushrooms, keep us in the dark, and poof.
Yeah,
we know. And let us not forget, if we're going to get maudlin, let's thank everybody who has donated both to the Soundbites website itself,
yes,
and especially to the Jazz 90.1 website, because that's what keeps this station on the air.
That's right.
That Jazz 90.1 donation. And it's what keeps us here at the station.
Well, we got to, like you were saying, though, Nick, pay a big tribute to Rob because it was 14 years ago and 2 months that he, called us because we got let go at the other station and said, when we were having lunch there and said, okay, when do you want to start? And I said, how about June 5th? Okay, let's order. And that's the way it began here at Jazz 90.1.
It wasn't a blackmail situation? I assumed that you had something.
Well, we had a lot of places that wouldn't mind us, coming to their station, but we had to pay them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, pay rent to be on the air.
We have pictures of a young, inexperienced Rob handling a board very poorly.
Yeah. Uh-oh. And his, and his step stool.
Yeah, his step stool, yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. You two guys... We've got Dave and Steve and me and Rob on the main page, but we don't have you two guys.
Oh.
So if you can send me a black and white picture of you looking to your right, our left.
Okay.
We'll add you to the pictures on the side of the Soundbites website.
I think I'm going to let AI generate mine. It'll probably look better.
Well, I could pull one from your Facebook and bicycle shorts.
Yeah, there we go.
That is a threat.
Just want the headshot from both of you guys. So,
All right. We'll see what we can do.
The other thing is that I hear we don't have phones.
No, we got phones.
We're not sure you're going to hear them yet, but I think so.
But we can certainly give it a shot.
Yeah, let's give it a shot. Hold on.
If not, you'll catch us through the delay.
So Dave is now trying to answer the phone. So do you want to quickly tell the story again? So I'm wearing my Soundbites 30th anniversary shirt today. Let me turn this down.
Oh, that old thing?
We didn't make a 33rd anniversary shirt.
That's all right. I got a Sharpie. Hang on. Come here a minute.
Yeah.
All right.
Which story?
The very beginning. But Deb's going to try a call. Hang on a second.
All right, let's try this. We've got Don from Pittsburgh. Go ahead, Don.
My question about old hard drives from unused computers, and do they further deteriorate if they're simply sitting on the shelf? My intent is to use them for backup.
If they are magnetic drives, spinning disks,
yes,
they shouldn't deteriorate over your lifetime.
But floppy disks did have a problem In the early days, especially when you bought really cheap discs, which we all did, you pick one up and the dust falls out as the little iron bits fall out of the drive.
Or if you left them in the back of your car.
Yeah. I would say the biggest challenge that mechanical drives have faced is the lubricant on the spindles. And that's improved over the years. But a long time ago, the electric motor on the inside that spins the disc.
The servo motors.
Right. Would not have enough power to overcome the frictional force of the platters being stationary.
And that became known as stiction.
Stiction, yes.
It was friction making it stick.
But you would realize, I think, that problem, wouldn't you, if you tried to operate the drive?
The first time you plugged it in, you wouldn't hear it spinning.
Right. And the other thing that you got to watch for is, you know, they can have what they called head crashes. You know, if the thing gets bumped around a lot or shoved from, you know, one storage area to the other, or if it's in totes and gets bumped around, you can have head crashes.
But hopefully when the drive shut down, it parked the head.
Yeah, that's most common. And the magnets inside and the voice coils that keep the heads moving across the disc, the magnets are very strong. So it's very common for the heads to get parked when the power is removed. But again, if the drives are spinning and the heads are over the drive, you'll want to make sure that those drives stay stable. I would say mechanical drives do fail. It's usually not the motor. It's sometimes the circuit board that drives the heads and drives the motor. But it can also be bad sectors developed on the drive itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, the situation here specifically is these were computers that are no longer used. They were retired probably about 5 years ago. Prior to that time, they were used for probably about 3 years, and what I have done was simply remove the hard drives and not move them, simply had them on the shelf, and I'm wondering if I simply can't use those to back up data, not be turning them on and off, just simply have them as a backup if needed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would say for the most part, yes.
And is it fairly safe, even though these now are aged, but aged in place for perhaps 5 years?
Well, the other word of caution that I would recommend is don't keep them up in an attic.
No. Yeah, temperature swings can be bad.
Yeah. If anything, you know, store them down in the basement. Basements are usually always a lot cooler. And hard drives have no problem with cold.
And if you pull a raw drive out of a computer, make sure you put it into an anti-static bag for storage.
Yeah.
We have so many people bring in just raw drives saying, can you recover the data from this? Well, probably not anymore. It's, you know, you've shorted out all the circuit boards with your static handling.
Okay.
But I will tell you that I'm in your situation. I've got a bunch of old hard drives, and I do use them for backup. Not my only backup.
Right.
And I have multiple backups, but it is one of the backups I have, and so far.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of one of the things that GRC's SpinRite can handle, is it can refresh the data on the drive. It can read all the blocks, and if it has trouble reading a block, it rewrites it. And so it can refresh your data and keep the drive working longer. So a lot of people run it as just maintenance in addition to a recovery when necessary, too.
SpinRite's great.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear exactly. What is that program called?
There's a program called SpinRite from Gibson Research Corporation, and 6.1 is imminently due.
Oh, wonderful.
The downside to SpinRite is that it does a lot of work fixing your drive, and its claim to fame is it'll fix drives that are starting to fail or maybe even have failed. But if you have a really large drive, let's say it's 1 terabyte.
Or larger.
The amount of time SpinRite is going to take to do like a thorough refresh of that drive is immense.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest improvement in 6.1 is it can do about 1 terabyte an hour.
Wow.
It used to be about 1 terabyte a week, wasn't it?
That about
that's the last time I looked.
Because it's been like, it's something 20 years that 6.0 has been out.
I think I haven't used it in 4 or 5 years anyway.
Yeah.
So let's say that, how big are these drives, by the way?
Probably, I'd say half a
half a gig, probably.
Half a gig?
But no.
Half a terabyte?
I'm sorry.
So 500 gigs.
Half a terabyte.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that a couple of them have the operating system, Windows 7, mm-hmm. on it. And what I'd plan to do is simply delete or remove that operating system to gain more space on the drive.
Mm-hmm.
Is that permissible?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because Windows 7 is no longer supported.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Once again, I appreciate your help and the good work you're doing on air.
Thank you, have a great weekend.
You too.
Hold on. Are you talking about just deleting the Windows 7 files or reformatting the drive?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Are you planning? Go ahead, tell them.
Yeah, are you planning on just deleting the folders for Windows or formatting the drive?
I have data on it that I would like to save. I thought I could simply deal with the operating system and remove that only.
Yeah, you can delete that folder.
But there's also a lot of invisible Windows folders that are a little harder to delete.
But they don't take up much space.
What I would recommend is if whatever data you do have on it, move that over temporarily to another drive. Format that drive.
Which also refreshes all the blocks.
Right. And then put that data back.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, makes perfect sense.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks again, gentlemen.
You're very welcome.
That's part of our constant chant about backing up, the 3-2-1 backup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so having multiple backups is important. And so in this gentleman's case, he's got multiple drives. So he really should back up all his data onto each of those drives.
Yep.
So that if one of them dies, he's still got another one. That should not be his only backup.
No.
There are lots of free online backup places that you can put some data, and you should do this. It's a 3-2-1, three different backups in two different places, one of which should be off-site. So you gotta have multiple backups. Well, anybody who's been a systems administrator.
Well, like we've said, Nick, for the longest time, it's not a matter if the systems are going to fail, it's when. And you don't want to be caught with, just the one copy.
And a lot of our business customers, and that's a lot of small home businesses now, are using a product called IOSafe. A lot of times you back up your data on a hard drive and you put it in your safe. Because you think it's safe. Well, most safes aren't rated for data. Even if it's a paper proof safe, Fahrenheit 451 is before paper dies.
Mm-hmm.
Your hard drive is going to die at a lot lower temperature than that. So, IOSafe is a fireproof, waterproof, enclosure around the hard drive. So it's a little tiny fireproof safe all by itself. In addition to being fireproof, it's waterproof. Because you forget sometimes when they're putting out the fire, it gets flooded. So I think it's rated to stand 30 days submerged in water, something like that.
That's really interesting. What's the name of that again?
IOSAFE, IOSafe. I'm putting a link in our link list as well. Comes in different capacities. They also have USB versions and NAS versions. Generally, for our small office customers, we use the Solo G3, which is basically just a single little hard drive that you connect USB to your computer.
Uh-huh.
But they also have big NAS volumes for larger business as well. And so it's a self-included data-ready fire safe for your drives and your backup data.
Impressive. That's a new one for me. I'm glad I came today.
Cool.
Never know what you're going to learn.
Yep, really. You still there, Nick?
Okay.
Yep. Let's see. Oh, they have a 70-terabyte version with 5 14-terabyte drives.
So does this include backup software, or is it just a data bucket that you put right to?
I don't remember because I just use Time Machine.
Okay. I've been using Backblaze, and it has the ability to write to external drives.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if I could
probably
something like that.
It shows up on the desktop as a regular volume. It doesn't know any different.
Okay. Very interesting.
I love their they've got some demos online where they set it on fire.
Okay.
And then douse the fire and let it sit in the water and then rip it open and everything works.
Okay, that music tells me we got to take a short break, but hey, don't go too far. We will be back even with Nick still. So don't go anywhere. More great stuff still coming on Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Go for it, Nick.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dennis Worster.
And I'm probably Chris Horn.
Yeah. Yeah, last we checked.
Still.
And we are soundbites.
Still.
Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
And with that, let's go to the phones. We got Rich in Irondequoit. Go ahead, Rich.
Hello, guys, and Nick. Glad to see you're back and doing well.
Thank you very much.
My question continues on with this backup dilemma. Is it better to, let's just say that I have a folder on my computer that's labeled documents and that's where I keep everything. I would then copy it to a hard drive somewhere else or in the cloud, wherever I may do it. Is it better to copy that file or that folder again to all these places with, we'll say, new documents or change documents? Or is there programs that do it better, or just copying and pasting folders back and forth, is that a good idea?
Well, from my point of view, having a program that's automated is always better than doing it by hand, because you'll forget.
Yeah. Doing it at all is good. Automating it is better.
Well, I'm just saying doing the whole folder all the time, every time I back up.
Yeah, so if you're going to do it manually, then yeah, you could go through the folder and find the files you've changed and then copy just those files. But that's the perfect thing for a backup program to do, is it does that, and that's called an incremental backup, where it only copies the changed files onto your backup volume.
And it gets it done a lot faster that way, too.
Right. Doesn't have to copy everything again. And so it's a lot faster than doing it. So your first backup may take a few hours, depending on how much data you have, but subsequent backups could just be minutes.
Now, is there Windows that does that, or is there a special other program that maybe you recommend or whatever to do that?
We've always said that Windows has a really good backup program and a really crappy restore program. So if you want to get your data back, don't use Windows Backup.
Yeah.
Okay. And unfortunately, that's the most important part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are some really good free and inexpensive backups. We have recommended Cobian Backup for a while. They typically sell their current version, and the previous version is free.
Oh, interesting.
That has almost all the same features.
Wow. That's an interesting idea. I don't know if I've heard of that before.
Yeah, Cobian Soft. I'll post that onto our link list.
Is that with a K?
With a C.
With a C. C-O-B-I-A-N?
I-A-N, yep. If you're using a Mac, you have the Time Machine software built into the Mac.
Right.
That can do that automatically.
That is good. There are alternatives if Time Machine is not your cup of tea. One of the ones that we use most often is Backblaze. There are other companies that provide services like CrashPlan. If you're just making a second copy at your home for personal use, then you may not need any of the services that offer a cloud option to store it on their own servers. And for things like that, I recommend a tool called Carbon Copy Cloner for the Mac. For you Linux nerds, that's a very nice GUI wrapper around the rsync command. But it is very, very nice to use and will happily make a second bootable copy of your main drive. And you can freshen it on a schedule.
And that's nice about Backblaze, that it has a local copy service as well. Do you need to pay for their cloud service to use the local copy?
I don't believe so.
That was nice. So remember, there used to be one that let you back up to your friend's house
Right.
So you had an off-site backup, and then theoretically you let them back up to your house.
That was when CrashPlan had a home
CrashPlan had a home
option.
What's the one you use, Nick?
I use rsync because I'm on Linux. rsync is free, was easy to set up. It backs up just the files I've changed. I can back up locally. I can back up remotely. I can do whatever I want to do with it. And I love it. But again, it's the kind of thing that you have to know a little bit about what you're doing. The one that Dennis talked about, which is a wrapper around rsync, is a good idea.
Yeah, gives a GUI to rsync.
What?
Gives a GUI to rsync.
Well, you can get a GUI for it.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It definitely doesn't come with it. It's arcane on its own.
It no doubt.
It, just as arcane for Windows is RoboCopy.
Right. I've got a bunch of stuff on my website, asknick.com/backup.php.
There you go.
I've got a bunch of them on there. I don't have all the ones that Dennis just talked about. Dennis, if you could send me those names.
Sure. Can do.
Just email them to me.
And that's the third link on the Soundbites website is backup, backup, backup. You don't have enough backups. And that talks about the backup plan and lists a bunch of the backup software we're talking about.
Right.
How much data are you talking about backing up?
Oh, I don't know. I couldn't tell you how much. A lot of documents over the years and stuff like that. It's probably definitely under a terabyte, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know? Like we've said, though, for the longest time, you know, the documents, if you lose a couple, you know, you can recreate those. In my estimation, the key thing to always make sure you're backing up are the photos.
Right, correct.
Because the photos cannot be recreated.
Also, you also don't recommend, if I'm don't mistaken, not to back up the C drive as a whole so that you get all your programs and everything else.
Yeah, generally
other disks.
That generally doesn't work well with Windows. You can't restore a program that way and have it function. Windows installer has to install programs. On the Mac, it generally can, because the way the Mac is designed. So Time Machine is designed to back up everything, and you can restore everything onto a new drive if your whole drive crashes. There's kind of an interesting trade-off between a fast backup and a fast restore. So if you have a fast backup, it's probably going to be a slow restore. You got to reinstall Windows, reinstall your applications, and then reinstall your application, your documents from backup. But if you do a slower backup and backup everything, then that gives you a faster restore. There's also a process called disk cloning, where you actually clone your drive to another drive. So a lot of businesses will use that. So if you know, like your database server dies, you plug in your clone and your backup instantly. So you don't have to, you know, take the time to restore all of your data from backup, because you can restore instantly from that clone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It might help to think of it as two different problems. You have your data backups, where you can manage a relatively small amount of storage with cloud services, all the things we just talked about, and then your disaster recovery backups is a different program and a different process and a different amount of headache if you lose it.
And then Nick also likes pCloud as an internet cloud storage because it can replicate onto your computer as well as into the cloud. And they have an interesting lifetime subscription option. So you can get 2 terabytes of cloud storage for a pay once, and that's the end of it.
What I have.
Yep.
And full disclosure, if you use the link on my backup site, I get a couple of bucks, so I would appreciate that. But whichever you use, whatever you use, you don't have enough backups. We say that all the time, and it's true. So find ways to back up locally and remotely and multiple ways in multiple
and
ways.
And if you can make it automated so you don't have to think about it other than the first initial setup, go for that.
Yeah.
And then the other key thing I would recommend is once you get into it and you're starting to back up stuff, periodically go back there to one of your backups and pull a file out just to make sure that you're getting everything that you think you're going to get.
Yeah, we've talked about that in the past where a customer brought in their pile of backup disks to get their Quicken finance file back and found out that they had backed up the shortcut to the application. no. Not even the data file.
Yep.
So he had like 20 CDs, and we put each one in. No, it's a shortcut to the Quicken application.
Right.
That's rough.
So verify your work, okay?
That's going to give me nightmares.
Now, as far as the cloud backup, would you consider Google Drive or Dropbox being a place to do that?
I use Google Drive as one of mine.
I would not.
Yeah, it's generally, well, first, it's not really a backup. It's a sync.
Yeah.
If you delete a file in the Google Drive on your computer, it's deleted from Google. So part of the reason to have a backup is if you accidentally delete something or corrupt something, you want to have another copy that doesn't change. Google Drive and I don't know about Dropbox.
Dropbox will give you a history.
Yeah, they'd give you how far back does it go.
It depends on what you pay them.
Yeah, it depends on what you pay them, yeah.
Okay.
So that's not bad for disaster recovery. Your whole computer dies, you can restore all your files from Google Drive, iCloud Drive, backup.
But don't make it your
drives.
Only
right.
one is my key thing.
Not your only one.
Yeah, I use Google Drive, but it's only one of my two others.
Yep.
Right, right. I'm just thinking of using it as the cloud side of the.
Yeah, it doesn't
backup.
Hurt. Doesn't yeah. hurt. More is better.
It's a good start, but I don't know if I'd trust it to be around. If again, the way Chris was saying, if you have it set to sync, if you have it disconnected, and use it as a destination for a copy, then that could be good. But in general, those tools, Dropbox, Google Drive, etc., and you know, all the other. Microsoft One and all the other units, those are really intended to be a central place that many computers can talk to synchronize and to create to make your files more available among multiple machines. They really weren't intended to be used in that particular way.
Right. So as I change locations, find it just doesn't change the location where I get it from.
Yes. Right. Okay.
All right, sounds good. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Yep.
You too.
All right, so I added Dennis to the soundbite stream.
Yay.
So that now he's not a tiny head in the background.
I'm not zombie in the corner.
Yeah. Well, actually, you're both at the moment. But I can move that down, yeah. So I think this is the most people we've had on live in a long time.
We're too busy having fun.
For a radio station that doesn't do live shows very often.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. We got Patrick from Batavia. Go ahead, Patrick.
How you doing, guys? And Nick, nice to see you in black and white.
Thank you so much. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much where I am these days.
Did you explain that you're calling from the 50s, or is that...
Yeah, if you're seeing me in black and white...
Bad lighting, Nick.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's headed down to the old fishing hole later.
I'm in the rehab facility, so I have the lighting I have, and that's it.
Well, it merely makes you a star there. No, and I have met you in person, and really glad to see you feeling better. I'm calling back today to report a follow-up of my trying to hook up my new monitor.
Ah, yes, please, come ahead.
And to recap for those people that don't listen every minute of every week, I bought a 27-inch monitor with an HDMI and VGA connection. And that seemed like a good idea until I looked at the back of my computer and I have a what's called a DisplayPort. And... no HDMI, so I had to find a way to connect it. The guy suggested that I look for a deep DisplayPort to HDMI adapter, or if not that, VGA. So I tried both of those, and the result was the same. It kept going through, no signal found, signal detected.
Okay.
And I, of course, do what most people do. I began to talk to the computer and say, it's right there.
Yeah.
You're not looking in the right spot. And, of course, like most people realize, nothing happens. Then I watched several videos, including one that was in Hindi, about hooking up this monitor. And one sentence out of one of the calls or videos I watched, I heard the person say, if you have a display card, installed, you have to use that one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went for my third purchase because I had given away my VGA cord, thinking I'd never use it again. Found at a big box store a DVI, I never mentioned that one, the DVI-D to HDMI.
Okay.
And you know what? When you get the right cord for the product,
it works.
Came right on so simple. It was like, yep. I can't believe it.
The wonderful thing about standards is there's so many of them to choose from, most of them aren't compatible with each other.
That's true.
So the DVI-D is the digital connection, which is what HDMI digital needs. There are other DVI-I connectors that are analog.
Right.
And so that would have worked if you had a VGA monitor input, but you need DVI-D for the digital. So our apologies for not being specific enough in the multiple standards.
No, it's true, but I think you've picked the proper cable. Of all the different incarnations of what you could have picked, this is the one I think will give you the best results over the longest period of time.
Yeah. And that's the key thing you got to remember is even if you put a sound card, you might have a built-in sound card on your motherboard.
Right.
But if you put a, say, a Sound Blaster card in it, the Sound Blaster card takes preference over the built-in.
It's true. And, yeah, and you mentioned last week that it was a Dell machine, and Dell is famous for putting a secondary video card in, even though the motherboard has video on it.
Yeah, because then it's not shared.
And if you try and, I know because I've done this at work, if you try and just blindly plug in the DisplayPort cable onto the motherboard, it will boot up and say, hey, by the way, you've got a card over there, go use that. And then it won't really go much further. So yeah, I think you've got the right thing. I think you've done it the right way. And congratulations to you for figuring it out in only 3 purchases. That's pretty good. That's like when I go to DIY and I have to go to the big box, the plumbing aisle. Forget about it. It's a minimum. I've got an old enough house that it's a minimum 4 trip.
Right size, wrong thread.
And the clerk is, you're back again?
Yeah. Hey, I remember you. I have to take both ends to them. And I say, here, I want to connect this to this. And then I let them do the mental gymnastics.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be fair, I bought a cable. It didn't work. When I went back to the store, I talked to the owner there, and we discussed the options, and he said, well, maybe, or I don't know if I said, should I, or he said, you should.
Okay.
So it was kind of a consultation in there.
Yep.
Well, it's wonderful that you had somebody that you could talk to and explain the situation to.
Yeah, you guys need to be on twice a week.
You hear that, Rob?
If you have a problem on Wednesday, you got to wait till Saturday.
Yeah.
By the way, well, just go back and listen to the show again, and you can take the advice differently.
When you're smarter, you take it differently. By the way, Nick, I got that Peep Cloud, the lifetime version, a while ago. And apparently you need to do more than just install it. You have to do something else because I don't even know what I put on. I might have set it up some way to do some backups. But I was compromised because I never used to back up at all, and I thought, well, next time I should buy PCloud, so I did. Now I'm going to maybe more committed to actually using it.
Yeah, with any backup program, once you install it, you have to tell it what to back up.
Right, you have to set it up.
You know what, I'm not sure you guys said that the first time.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go back and listen. Maybe you did, and I missed it.
Yeah, we forgot. We were insufficient enough. You have to install it. You have to download it. Then you have to install it. Then you have to run it and configure it.
That's the way it usually works for most programs.
Yeah. Yep. But I hear stories all the time about that. Well, you didn't say you had to do that.
What do you mean? I put gas in this car?
Yeah.
It's like buying an exercise bike. You do actually have to. Bikes on it.
I haven't lost any weight since I bought this exercise bike 3 years ago.
Well, have you turned the pedals?
The gym.
Yeah.
A lot of people that join the gym and park as close as possible to the gym.
Yes.
And take the escalator up.
Good to see you back, Nick, and the full house there. And in your absence, the guys did a pretty good job. They don't have your personality, but they're okay.
Gee, thanks.
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 I'll be sure to tell my wife later.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick, I think it was either last week or the week before, you had told me about this one program that you use for Linux. And you can, once you install, the basis of, Cinnamon or whatever you're putting on, then you can have another program that keeps track of all the other programs that you had installed, and it'll download it and then put them there for you to set up.
Yeah, what that is a program called dpkg. And on Linux, you would just say dpkg. And it's called dpkg. And what it does is one of the choices in that is you say dpkg space dash dash get dash selections, and you can see a list of all of your programs that you have installed. Mm-hmm. And if you want, you can send that using the greater than symbol to a file. So I say dpkg space dash dash get dash selections greater than package list.
Okay.
Right? And that puts it in the package list, which then I can back up. Mm-hmm. Right? So now I have my whole package list up in the cloud somewhere. If I want to restore it, I have to use the sudo command because now I'm trying to restore it.
Yeah, now you're
something.
Playing God.
But I say dpkg space dash dash set selections less than package list.
Okay.
And it will do that. There's also a couple of other things you want to do. You have your keys, so you want to say apt key, apt dash key export all to a file. And if you're using snaps, you can say snap list to a file.
Oh, okay.
So you can and again, all of that is automatable. Mm-hmm. At 2 o'clock in the morning every day, which is kind of useless the last month and a half because I have not done anything on my computer at home. But every day at 2 a.m, it takes that whole list, puts it somewhere, and then that gets backed up in all the places that I back up at 3 a.m. So what it does is it makes it easy to duplicate a machine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because you can take that whole list and say, okay, now put it, all that same software on this machine. Well, now, you still have to log into each one and all of that stuff.
Well, it'd be also great, too, if you wound up, say, installing a version that you didn't care for, and wound up putting in another version raw, and then just pull that in and have it reset, pull everything down and set it up for you.
Yep, yep. So it's really, and dpkg is a Debian thing. So any Debian-based operating system like Ubuntu, mm-hmm. Mint, you know, any one of those, will be able to use that.
No.
Okay.
It's really convenient. It's really fast and easy and convenient because it just takes.
Yeah. Like I said, it was a couple of weeks ago, and I was just having one of those senior moments that I couldn't remember it. And it's like, I know it's out there, but, and it's so safe. You know, like you say, it's. Because as we tell folks, even with Windows or Linux in there, it's better to start fresh and then reinstall the programs, whether it's Windows or Linux, and not carry over those inherited maybe corrupt files or spyware, malware, who knows what.
Right.
When you're doing, because you backed up the whole drive. Yeah, and you backed up all those problems, too.
Yep, exactly right. And if you've got something like dpkg to do that backing up, you've got a whole lot of programs, but it installs the latest version of each one. So
yep.
That's really nice. I mean, you can have, you've got thousands and thousands of packages in Linux, and many of them are auto-installed when you set up a new machine. A lot of little utilities like dpkg and a bunch of others that get automatically installed. And so that's a fairly long list. And you don't want to do any of that by hand. Believe me.
Yeah. No. Matter of fact, you remember me talking probably a while ago that I was waiting for this one program to come on so I could change one of my machines over to Linux. Because right then they didn't have quite ready the version of the software to work with Linux. Well, I'm happy to say that two more weeks, they're rolling out the Linux version that'll not only work on Linux, but they're also having it to work on Mac, which before they were completely just a PC-based unit. So, all right, tell you what, folks, we got to take a short break, but hey, don't go too far. More of Nick Francesco, Steve Ray, me, Chris, and Dennis will be back on the second hour of Soundbites to take your questions. And yes, this is Nick live, not pre-recorded. We got him up and convinced him to call in because we are celebrating, in case you folks didn't hear, our anniversary of our completion of our 34th year and completing 33 years. But hey, stay tuned for more.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more. Dave and Steve, next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Go ahead.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dennis Worster.
I'm Chris Horn. And don't tell my wife I'm here.
And yes, that is actually, it's not your hearing, folks. That is actually Nick. He is joining us. He's not here in the studio, but he is able to be here via electronics.
Yes.
Trickery.
Through the power
and help us celebrate. Networks. And help us celebrate our 33 years of completion of doing sound bites. And but as Nick would always say, though, we can't do it without you folks. You folks are the ones that are the reason we're still here. We say that every week. You know, yeah, we come in and we give up our time, but in the same token, when we ask you folks to step up the plate, we've got some of the best listeners. Because they come right through for us and say, yeah, I want to keep sound bites going. And, hey, we're going for 34, folks. This is starting 34th year and 14 years and 2 months here at Jazz 90.1.
That's fantastic.
Right, Nick?
We're old.
Yeah. Hey, that too. It means nice the alternative. Summary.
That too. But, hey, at least we're looking down at the flowers, not up.
That's true.
That's exactly right. That's how you know.
We're still happy to be here.
Mm-hmm.
It's always funny when my son was in high school, the things that they were doing, even in middle school, you know, 5 years ago, we never even thought of in college. You know, he's on the robotics team. They're building an autonomous robot
right.
to pick up a soccer ball and throw it through a hoop in a castle wall. It was a castle siege that year.
Uh-huh. First.
Yep. And oh my God, we never even had any inkling of anything staggering. To do that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah. We got excited when we could find the Wumpus.
Yeah. You're right.
Well, heck, guys.
The old Star Trek game mm-hmm. that you printed out.
Right.
Yep. You had a pen that had four colors in it. Oh my gosh, that was the height of technology.
You mean like this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's there got one go. In his pocket.
It's right here.
He still has one.
Why?
Do you have a trapper keeper?
Now I'm jealous.
My wife does. Yeah, you know, I was feeling kind of bummed out the other day. Well, this is a while ago, about a year or two ago. And I said, man, remember when we were young and if you had that four color pen, you were like the coolest kid in school. And I was like, you know what? I make big boy money now. I could go buy some of these. So I bought a couple, and then my kids gave me one for put it in my stocking at the holidays. And you know, it's nice. Just this little it's a little treat. You know,
yeah,
very nice.
Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, it's fun.
So with technological advances, how many colors can you fit in a pen now?
Now I looked into this because I fell down a rabbit hole in YouTube. Not only are there ways to put up to a dozen different colors, but you can also buy the pens and the different inserts in whatever colors you want.
And change them out.
And apparently, this is a very popular thing to do in Japan, because you not only have all the different inks and all the different styles of ink, but you have pencils with leads of different hardness and different diameter.
Wow.
And people design these so that they can be personalized. They have different cases made out of different materials. Some are aluminum, some are steel, some are carbon fiber, some are wood. And it's just this gigantic industry that I had no idea even existed. Tremendously interesting and a great way to spend a whole lot of money.
Have you ever seen those carpenter pencils? You know, they're flat.
Oh, yeah, ones. The triangle? Yeah.
There is a guy on YouTube.
Sure.
And he takes those pencils, carves out to the lead.
Yes.
And then does carvings.
I've seen this. Yep.
He's had one of a train.
Yes.
And then one of a mountain scene.
Right. And I've like, seen ones that are whoa. Sort of like a totem pole kind of situation, and they're just yeah. amazing.
Unbelievable.
I, my hat's off. I
those are people with talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be not. Working no. that, you know, with that fine, you know, you'd have to every, with me, every so often slap this, you know, up the side of the head to straighten out my eyeballs
right.
because they're kind of going cross.
The other one that I was watching last fall was a bunch of people repairing watches. They're trying to learn all about the different pieces of watch mechanisms and movements and how they clean them and how they lubricate them. And boy, there's a talk about a field where there's a whole bunch of specialized tools and they're all tiny. It was incredible to watch. I was thinking, oh, maybe it was something I could buy broken ones and try and refurbish them and hang on to them or pass them on to my kids or whatnot. Oof. No, I don't think so. I think I'll just send them away.
The tool investment is really high.
Yeah, up front. The upfront investments for the ultrasonic cleaners and the super tiny screwdrivers and magnification that you need and the lubricants. You know, you're not using very much of the lubricant, but you have to have the ability to place it very precisely. I'm not sure even at my middle age that my hands are steady enough to do that.
Yeah. Nick, did you also see that on Canakit now, they've got the Raspberry Pi 4s back in order?
Yeah, I saw that. I was tempted to order one, and then I thought, maybe I'll wait till I get home. Because well, I won't be able to do anything with it or bring it in from
no,
the porch.
No, no, those, order it yeah, now.
All those boxes will be waiting for you on the porch.
Yeah, order it now. It's a motivator to get home as soon as possible.
Or you could.
I have three Raspberry Pis.
Okay.
And I have a NUC. I know we talked about those last week. You guys talked about those. The next unit of computing from Intel.
You bought one too?
Oh yeah, I have one.
I just ordered one. I'm waiting for it to come. I saw it for the price. I said, I gotta try it.
I thought that was a Three Stooges thing. Or if you buy three of them.
Yeah. No.
That's yuck with a Y.
Oh.
Y-U-C or K.
Okay.
But, the next unit of computing, it's a tiny little
box.
Computer. It's kind of like a Mac Mini near that size. It's a hockey puck looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in various sizes, you know, i3, i5, whatever, and the N series. There's mm-hmm. a lot of those. And, you know, various amounts of RAM. And they're designed to run Windows, which means they run Linux like a top. And they're excellent. So I've been very pleased with the one I bought. Oh.
I'm reading on Intel's website that they have pulled out of the project and they're turning it over to Asus.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The thing is that for a lot of people, small equates to not useful. So they see these tiny little boxes and they think
right.
I can't use that.
Yeah. Where in reality, it's you end up with 10 or 12 of them because each one can do a certain thing and isn't burdened by trying to do everything else.
Right.
Right. Mine is doing home automation.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that something small like that, you would think that, oh, this is just a laptop. Right. This is a laptop CPU. It's not a full power desktop CPU, but that micro form factor is the nuts because you can just like at a company, you can hang that right on the back of your monitor.
Yep.
And it's an all in one.
Yeah. And it's got great.
Many places nowadays have a Raspberry Pi hanging off the back of a monitor to do the various, you know, here's what's here today or, you know, whatever all they're doing.
I'll tell you, I still have two Raspberry Pi 3Bs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I swear, I thought we had a power surge in our neighborhood. They were also going around and changing out the meters.
Okay.
And it trashed my micro SD card.
Oh.
But the Raspberry Pi 3B, it's like the old Timex watch. keeps on ticking, you know, and it's...
We had that happen for a customer. They had a power surge when...
Guys, I'm sorry. I hate to break in, but I got to go.
All right.
I've been called.
All right.
The time is not my own. Thank you all.
Thanks, Nick.
For the lovely things you said, and we'll see you next week.
All right, Nick. Take care. Thanks for chiming in and taking the time, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was great. I'm sure he really liked having the opportunity to be back on the air, too.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's missing it just as much as we're missing him.
You know, he's been gone for, what, 2 months now?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, I think it's been 2 months. And, you know, people are constantly asking me from time to time, you know, where's Nick? Is he okay? Yeah, like, you know, the rest of us, you know, we get old, things happen to us, and it just takes a little bit longer to spring back.
I presume that he tore the quadricep as he was racing to the door for the Amazon delivery that he was undoubtedly expecting. And that old Amazon injury.
His wife didn't know about the recurrent purchase.
Hang on, I'll just be right. How?
I heard somebody or saw a meme once about, you suppose the Amazon truck drivers go, oh no, not this house again? And someone posted, I'm an ambulance driver. We think the same thing.
Oh, gee. They can recognize the address?
Yeah.
The ambulance frequent flyer thing, that's real.
Yeah.
It's generally not a good sign.
No. I can tell you that ours has become friendly with our dog. Which is nice. So they stop by and we go meet them in the front yard because the dog's out and we don't want anything to happen. And they say, oh, I'm just so glad I got to come back and say hi to the dog. Of course, the dog is thrilled because the dog presumes that everybody's there to pet the dog.
Yep. One of our delivery drivers even brings dog treats.
Smart person.
Our mail carrier.
Yeah.
One woman surprised her husband because evidently their big screen TV died.
Okay.
So she ordered a new one. And put the old one that was trash in the box.
Okay.
And put it out on the back porch.
All right.
And had the new one installed to surprise him.
Very nice.
Well, during that night, somebody came to their back porch, a porch pirate, and carried away the box.
So they didn't even have it.
So she typed in a message, thank you to whoever took this from me because you just saved me a trip to the dumps.
Well, watching them bring it back. This doesn't work. They'll come back and demand their money back.
Yeah.
You know, that always slays me. I'll put stuff, you know, we've had certain, you know, appliances or that.
Sure.
Break. And I'm sure everybody runs into this. You put it out to the curb.
Yep.
And somebody will come by and go, hey, does this still work?
Well.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
It's gotten worse because Nick has said he's had it too. We threw an old washer away.
Uh-huh.
Someone tore it apart in the front lawn, took the one piece they needed, and left all the rest of the parts scattered there.
That's classy.
My neighbors next door to me, you know, they had lived in that house all their lives. And the house were built in 1928.
Yep.
And they had a ton of stuff from accumulating over the years. Well, the kids came over and because it was time for them to move on to a resting home, you know, self-care unit. And they had the sidewalk, between the sidewalk and the curb, packed with stuff. I thought, oh, that's going to be horrible. Sure enough, pickers came by and they're pulling stuff out of the bags and throwing it all over the place. And, you know, you say, hey, you know, put it back in there. Get the, you know, gesture, you know, like mind your own business. And it's like, I told them from then on, I says, you know, do us all a favor around here because the wind was blowing stuff all over the place. I said, don't put them out until that day of the trash. because they were putting them out on the weekend.
Just the night before, maybe, yeah.
And our trash doesn't get picked up until Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
So you had quite a few days of people picking through stuff. And people are so inconsiderate sometimes. You know, yeah. They put stuff out there and then they pick through it. Hey, no problem. But put it back in the bag.
Sure.
There are sociopaths that do that and simply don't care about anything.
No.
It's true. Disappointing.
Well, what are you going to do?
Crazy. We were, I was listening to a RC model podcast, and one of the guys was also into plastic modeling.
Okay.
And he had just come back from the International Plastic Modeler Society National Convention.
Wow.
Yes, that's a thing.
Okay.
Of course it's a thing.
And talking about the skills some of these modelers have, the details they put into things.
Yeah.
You know, imagine the best model you can think of and then magnify that by 10.
Right.
And then put all of those people into one competition.
Yeah.
And holy crap. He said some people will bring 3 or 4 different models that are just absolutely amazing, so they're only allowed to win one award.
What's really helped, though, in that sense, too, is along with the use of computers, is this 3D printing.
True.
That they can create some of these parts for not only your planes, but other projects.
Yep.
That the amount of detail.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
We're seeing that now in the mass-produced model airplanes, where the panel lines are all there. Adding lights, you know, navigation lights to your plane is common now. Hmm. If it doesn't have lights, there's complaints.
So on my printer,
yeah.
You can get nozzles that are down to a tenth of a millimeter.
Yeah,
right. That's the width of the extrusion, but the layer height. I regularly print at 800ths of a millimeter accuracy, and that's the normal FDM.
Yeah,
and it's extruded thing. If you get the resin printers,
right?
Those are equal to that resolution, if not greater resolution. You just can't see the lines. You can't tell that.
No,
this is a thing you just
and
made.
How
in your
far
garage.
That's come?
It looks like amazing. A molded part.
When we started this show 33 years ago, you didn't have mouses. You didn't have CD-ROM drives.
Sure.
You were running like a
DOS 3
machine with a monochrome screen, a keyboard, and a bunch of floppies.
Because
you had dual 5 1/4 drives.
BBSs were everything.
Yeah, and that was, oh, this is beautiful. And then, you know, we have been from that point to where now you can get computers, like Nick and I were just talking about, the size of a hockey puck.
Yeah.
And that's probably got more technology in it now than some of the stuff up in the space station.
Well, what's interesting is the space station has a 3D printer on board.
Yeah.
So in case they run into some tool... They can make the tool and not have to wait for the next next launch status to come up.
Right.
But there's a company called Polymaker that they are making a special PLA, which is the name of the filament, for costuming.
Mm-hmm.
So they're calling it cosplay. COSPLA.
All right. Somebody was thinking on that one.
Yeah.
That's good.
So
well done.
Designed for being able to 3D print your props.
Specifically, it's for... strength and flexibility.
Flexibility, yeah.
Because you always got to watch out for the Klingons, because they'll bring real bladed weapons.
Oh, yeah, you don't want that.
I imagine
security at Javits or wherever they have these sessions. I imagine they have lots of a big long list of rules about what you're allowed to come in with and what you're not.
Well, they always call it peace bonded, so you have to have, if you do have a weapon, you've got to have a ribbon, usually pink, tied around it, showing that it can't be withdrawn from the scabbard.
But just the stuff, though, they're designing now with computers, how advanced they've come in 33 years.
Well, and it gives people who have an itch, who have a design, who have an idea, a way to turn it into something tangible and to solve their own problems, which I think is what the intention of the personal computer movement was all about, is let's put these tools in the hands of people who have ideas, who want to create opportunities for themselves or for others, or to solve problems that they have or that others may have.
Well, think of the graphics, too. I mean, you take like the original, say, Mario.
Sure.
Or some of these machines, it was flat.
Yes.
Nowadays, they're so three-dimensional, you know, they can make, you know, and you get the 3D glasses and almost feel like, you know, you're part of it and you see it. It's unbelievable.
I just heard on MacBreak Weekly about a program called Feather.
Okay.
And I'm posting a link now, feather.art. It's a 3D sketchbook.
Yes.
And so you sketch on your iPad, and it doesn't need an iPad Pro, just any regular iPad with a pencil.
Okay.
And you can draw, you know, 3D programs. You can turn it, and it will save, what is it, OBJ file?
Yeah.
That you can send to your 3D printer to actually print it.
Amazing.
So with very little technical skill, but if you have the skill, you can draw amazing things. You can do, you can model your own 3D stuff.
How does it know height, width, and...
Well, you tell it
scalable.
That. Yeah, it's all scalable,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's scalable?
Yeah.
So I haven't done much with the 3D printing. It's just another thing I could get sucked into.
And I'm doing baby steps. Yeah. So I'm doing, you know, add a cylinder here and extrude this.
I so put starting my 10,000 hours.
With a CAD program, you know, there's a bunch of really good CAD programs for 3D printing. But it's a CAD program. Start with shapes and objects. This is actually, you sketch a chair, and suddenly you have a 3D chair.
Yeah. The idea that you're sketching and not modeling is pretty fascinating.
And it's currently free. They say it's it may not be forever.
Okay.
But they've been working on this for a while.
I'm going to the link now.
Yeah. Well, they have apps on your phone right now, particularly...
There's quite a few of them that can do this, yeah.
I think modern Android and certainly modern iPhones have LiDAR built in.
Yep.
Sure.
So that you can scan an object and turn that into a printable file. At least something you can pull into a 3D app, clean it up. And then it's not as generally, like you don't go directly from a modeling program to your printer. You go through a thing called a slicer.
Right.
Mm. And that's the thing that adapts it to like the physical characteristics of your printer. That's where you choose what kind of material you're going to print because... Just like we've got that cosplay that's flexible but also strong. You've got stuff that's like squishy toys. You've got stuff that you have PLA that has carbon fiber built into it.
Right, right.
You can even get PLA that has like iron or copper.
Oh, really?
It'll you can run a charge through it.
Hmm. So you could have 3D printed circuit boards?
That might be a little aggressive, but I think you could have 3D printed circuits.
Okay.
Like if you wanted to, for instance, to blend the cosplay stuff.
Sure.
Where the inside layer of it had some circuitry on it so that your helmet could light up.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that.
Amazing.
It is staggering.
Another modeler that I saw online had created a scale model, and I think it was like 1/8 scale. It was fairly large. Of a Ferrari. And he had not only done the body and the wheels and the frame, he had from scratch, from billet, I don't know if it was aluminum or brass or something else, he had constructed the engine and scaled it. And when it would run, you could run it on, I don't remember if it was alcohol or something else, but when he revs it up, it actually sounds like a Ferrari.
Oh, geez.
It was incredible. That's amazing. And he had it all painted, you know, glossy red, and it was a beautiful thing. But man, how wonderful it is to live in a time where we have tools like YouTube to learn anything about anything, to see things beyond what a television programmer.
Well, that's where a lot of our folks, you know, do stuff now. You know, if you got a question on changing a part on something. Well, go to YouTube.
Right.
You usually can find somebody that will walk you through it and no problem.
Although the one thing we have to warn about is it may have taken them 50 wrong tries before they got this perfect
one take
video that everything worked right.
Right.
I kind of like the ones that show the mistakes first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crap, crap, crap. Ah, crap.
I ran into that problem because on my tractor for the snowblower.
Okay.
Changing the belt on that.
Yeah.
Because that's a, you know, 44
inch. If you haven't done it before.
Yeah, and I didn't know.
And you're not
what's
sure what
to expect.
What's the
easiest way to, because feeding it in and out is kind of tricky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I went to YouTube, and sure enough, this one guy, through his mistake, said, oh, here's the easiest way to do it, and you're feeding it down through this other way that you wouldn't think.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that's not
and then
the
you're pulling it around, and it's like, Whoa, this is so much easier.
Now you just saved an entire afternoon. Yeah.
I've saved, I've had to change the belts twice over the, you know, the years that I've had it, and piece of cake now. But again, it was all due to YouTube and people creating these things. Not only this, but anything else that you want to get into, you know, as far as crafts, cooking, and everything else. I mean, auto repair, it's out there.
That's true.
And people learn a lot from it.
And I think it, one of the big things is that it helps expose people who might not otherwise be exposed to things. So if you are a young person and you want to know more about the trades, let's say you want to know about welding or metalwork or turning wood on a lathe or being an electrician or a plumber or doing carpentry or doing masonry. But, you know, your parents are professionals. They work in an office. They don't have a lot of experience with that. And you don't have any of that DIY stuff.
Yep.
You know, this can be a great place to learn about that sort of stuff and get the exposure.
And like I said, we've come, you know, this far in just a short time, folks. But, hey, that music tells me right now that we got to take a short break. But, hey, don't worry. We will be back with the last half hour of sound bites, so stay tuned.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
And welcome back to Sound Bites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dennis Worcester. Sorry.
And I'm Chris Horn.
And I know a few folks, you're definitely going to want to listen to our podcast later on in case you just tuned in for the last half hour or hour of the show. Nick graced us with his presence. He is still going through rehab, but he was gracious enough to take the time out and from his schedule of PT.
For a physical injury, yeah.
Yeah. And be here with us because we are celebrating, folks, completing 33 years. Yes, 33 years, and that's what we've been talking about here for the probably the past hours. Just some of the innovations that we have seen in just the past 33 years, because it's been a heck of a lot.
And a lot of those early shows are missing because we never bothered to record them.
Yeah.
So every now and then, you know, we put out a plea. Does someone have any recordings of those very early shows? The oldest one we have on our website is December 2001.
Okay.
I used to have on cassettes.
Yep.
I used to tape it back when Lori and I, we just started the show.
Yep.
And I had them on cassettes. And then we wound up moving and had a flood and in this one basement corner and it all got trashed. And it was like so much for that. But, you know, hey. All right. Tell you what. Let's go back to the phones. We got Ed from Henrietta. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, hi. 33 years. I didn't realize that. Man, you guys are getting old. Hey, listen, I just had a question that would clarify for me, please. I think I heard Nick say one time that Google automatically backs up your pictures. So I just, you know, didn't think anything more about it. Excuse me, except that sometimes I get this little question that'll pop up on an Android phone. Do you want your pictures backed up? They're not backed up. Do you know what I'm doing wrong or not doing wrong? Because I thought that just was built into the system, you know, where they give you 15 gigs and then after that you got to pay.
You have to use the Google Photos app in order to have Google back up your photos.
Yeah.
If you don't have a Google Pixel phone, and whatever carrier and Android you're using may have its own photo backup separate from Google's.
So to protect myself, I just have to pull down the app, and it'll automatically do it. You don't have to tell it.
No, you got to set it up.
Yeah. You'll have to tell the Google Photos app to look at your current photo library on your phone. And it wouldn't hurt to have your phone's app back up the photos, too. It's never a bad idea to have more photos. It depends on which photo app you're using and where it's going to back it up to.
Right. Yep. I hear you. I'm just confused. Is the gallery related in any way to the Google's app, or is that a separate function of your phone? And when it just automatically goes to the gallery, is that simply just a mechanism to look at pictures and it's not backed up?
Yeah, gallery is probably the name of the app that came with the phone that's not Google Photos.
Gotcha.
What brand phone is it?
It's an Android. It's a Galaxy.
Samsung?
Samsung Galaxy 7, yeah. Probably need another. That's another quick point. How long do the phones last about generally before you just have to buy another? About 2 years?
As soon as you pay them off? 2 months later, then you need a new one. That's the way it works for me. It just seems like I just paid it off, and all of a sudden it won't hold the charge. And, you know,
if you're using a name brand phone, you know, like Samsung, like Google, then generally you'll get probably 3-4 years of updates. What we are hearing is a lot of the no name, you know, like free with contract phones, have no updates, and they're basically exploitable out of the box because they never get any updates.
And
that's sort of where the longevity of a phone comes into place, is how often and how long does it get security updates to stop problems coming in from the internet, because that's typically where the phones have the most problems. Then there was, well, there was a big shift from 3G to 4G to 5G. So a lot of, was it the end of last year, a lot of carriers shut down their 3G service.
Mm-hmm.
So you must have a 4G or later phone. And so that's expected to happen again. So eventually 4G will shut down. And if you don't have a 4G phone, you'll have to buy a 5G or later phone.
If the technology doesn't leave you behind, then your battery might, which is also potentially replaceable. You might be able to get 5 years, but that we can't predict that.
Yeah, it's.
But if the that's a good point. I'm glad you raised that, because they're 5Gs now, and if you buy 5G now, you know, it'll presumably work on 4G also. But is Rochester that industrialized for that particular function that you need a 5G? If they, you know, if you don't,
it helps. I mean, it's going to be a little faster.
Yeah, the main difference is the speed of the internet connection between each generation of cell phone.
But the problem with 5G versus 4G is they've had to put up one hell of a lot more towers, because 5G is line of sight.
Yeah.
From tower to tower.
What's interesting is that just like everything else in the computer world, things are accelerating. So 2G lasted for 30 years. 3G lasted for 20 years. Oh. So 4G came out in 2008. And it was 10 years before 5G came out. So who knows when 6G is going
to
come out.
And they might just go to H. They might give up on Gs entirely.
G for generation. See, now that confuses a lot of people. So your phone, 3G, 4G, 5G, is the fifth generation of cellular network. You look at your Wi-Fi. So there's Wi-Fi usually has something called 2G and 5G. That's 2 gigahertz connections,
right.
And 5 gigahertz connections. Those Gs between Wi-Fi and cellular have nothing to do with each other.
And your phone stores things in GB.
Yeah. Gigabytes.
Gigabytes. So it's a measure of...
Well, let's go back to the backing up your pictures thing. Let's say your phone is saying you don't have your pictures backed up, or you think that your pictures are backed up. What you really need to do for your own peace of mind is go to the website, go to Google, log into your Gmail account, look at your photos, and make sure that they're really there. Because if they're backed up, you should be able to see them in the cloud. And if you don't see them there, then it's proof that they're not backing up.
And the other thing I would recommend is they're so inexpensive right now. You can get portable hard drives, a terabyte hard drives, and hook it up to your laptop, and, you know, 10-1-odd your photos are all there, hopefully, and back them up to that hard drive, and then just set that hard drive away in another safe spot. The one thing we have heard over 33 years is people call us and say, "I lost my photos. You know, can you get them back?" And the hard truth is that sometimes depends.
Yeah, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago we had 6 backups came into the office in a week. 3 of them were successful.
Okay.
1 of them is not successful at all.
Okay.
2 of them we're still working on.
Because the photos, you know, those are, you know, documents you can always recreate. It might not be perfect.
Type it in, yeah.
But the photos that, you know, from old family members or kids or special moments, You can't recreate those. So I, you know, Nick says the 3-2-1. I'd even add a fourth one when it comes to photos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say they have an app. I didn't realize it on the phone. That it's called Recover Your Photos or something like that, and I inadvertently hit the wrong button, and this darn thing works. It found it and it brought it back. I think it's called Recover Your Photos. There's a couple of them on there,
mm-hmm.
but like you say, that's an excellent idea to just download it and hide it someplace. So that,
yeah, put it in a couple function. Places. You know, flash drives or whatever, depending on how many photos you have. Like say, the hard drives are getting so cheap now. You can get a terabyte hard drive for under $100.
Wow.
You know, and back, you know, get two or three of them and back them up to it.
$100 starts to look really cheap when you're getting nervous about your photos.
Yeah.
And you look at some of the commercial recovery services, you're starting at $1,000 minimum.
Yeah.
And it can go a lot more than that.
Wow.
Just nothing breaks.
The information.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thanks for calling.
I'll do what you say. Thanks again.
Yep.
We had one customer that they had a RAID 5. Oh, great! You're covered. One drive failed. Okay, you're not covered anymore.
Yeah.
And then a second drive failed.
Nah, you're.
And can we get our data back? Yeah, Drive Savers gave us an
probably
estimate.
Probably not.
Yeah, Drive Savers gave us an estimate of between $5,000 and $7,000.
Right.
Yeah.
At least they could try.
SpinRite might actually help with
it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, right? Maybe.
Yeah. Is this probably a spinny disk?
Yeah, a spinny disk. So SpinRite can. Look, it can read and write every block. It doesn't care about the file system.
It kind of exercises the drive, if I understand correctly, and then relies upon the relocation.
Right. So it tries to read every bit on every block. It needs to run from Windows, but it can run on any type of disk from any operating system. People are talking about putting their TiVo disk through it and getting all their shows back that have been lost.
Yeah. I've heard about people doing that.
And if so, say your disk has a problem on Sector Zero, which tells the computer where all the rest of the data is. So Sector Zero fails, it doesn't know where any of the data is. If SpinRite can bring back Sector Zero, suddenly all your data is accessible again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I can't stress enough, you know, the photos to me are the most important thing to save. And people have gotten so sloppy. I'm sorry. It's just the truth. People are getting very sloppy in the way that they're backing up. Yeah, I'll get back. I'll do it later. And then all of a sudden, you know, the machine fails on them because it's not a matter.
Well, why did it fail? What did I do wrong? Nothing. Things break.
Yeah. It's not a matter if, it's just when.
Yeah. Some of the big companies like Google and Backblaze that go through literally tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of hard drives a year, they have shown studies on. There is no really best brand of drive. You know, this month it was this brand. You know, last month it was that brand. But on average, a drive has about a 20% per year failure rate. So in the second year of using a drive, there's a 40% chance of failure. You know, by the fifth year of using a hard drive, spinning drive, it's going to fail.
Yep.
We thought solid state drives would eliminate that problem because there's no moving parts.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Sorry. But yeah. But in the quest for maximum data capacity, the way a solid-state drive works, there's a cell that stores a charge, and between the cells is insulation. So when you write data to a cell, you burn through the insulation. Eventually, you burn the insulation away completely, and that cell can't hold any more data. So that's why you look at some SSDs, and you think it's a 250-gig drive, but it formats out to 142. Well, there's overlap, there's wear leveling, because they know these bits are going to wear out. We've also now started doing multi-level cells. So typically a cell would be a 1 or a 0. But to get greater capacity out of a drive, they'll do half a volt, quarter volt, three-quarter volt.
Wow.
And that is even easier to lose the voltage in a cell. So they're relying much more on the error correction protocols. But that does mean that even solid-state drives will wear out too fast.
Yeah. But the fact that they degrade gracefully is amazing technology. Yeah.
There was a bug in,
and your operating system will tell you, hey, by the way, this drive, don't use this drive anymore.
There was a bug in one of the Windows updates that so Windows has a swap drive. So if your computer only has an SSD, your swap drive is on the SSD. And so that writes data to the swap drive when you run out of RAM. And this one Windows update had a bug where it kept writing the swap drive again over and over and over and over and over again. And within a couple of days, people started getting error messages that their SSD was out of trim space, and every cell was imminently failing because it kept writing so much data so much of the time.
But for the backup drives, I think there's also maybe not... I personally had to force myself to do this. Because if you have a drive you're using for backups, I'll often use an old drive because the drive is still good. It hasn't failed. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to set it aside, right? It's not getting any more writes to speak of. And even if I connect it once in a while and make backups to it, it's still not a lot of use. And if you want that and you need a bigger drive for it, buy a refurbished drive.
Hmm.
You don't have to buy a brand new drive. You
still
can buy one
warranty.
Still comes with a warranty.
Make sure it has a warranty.
Oh yeah, right. Like eBay is probably maybe not the right place to buy a refurbished drive.
We've heard stories about people buy used drives and they still have the first person's data on them.
Yeah,
Dell, I think, and you can get refurbs.
Yeah, so you want to go
Amazon
with a name?
Amazon has a pile of them too.
A name brand, yeah.
Sometimes they call them recertified.
Right. Renewed.
Yeah.
That was a sneaky branding for a while.
I think I don't know if it's annually or quarterly. You were talking about Backblaze that puts out that report.
Yeah.
They use gigantic racks and racks and racks of storage because they're literally storing everybody's backups. And they get to know what's done well. And they will graph out, here are the failures we've seen over the last 12 months so that you can see which ones have worked well and not. And it's also helpful if you've got a device like a network attached storage device, like a Synology, to take a look at the manufacturer's recommendations for drives.
Yeah.
Some of the firmwares that are on independent disks may be more compatible or less compatible with what that NAS manufacturer is attempting to do.
And you'll see that with classes of drives. You know, most people get say the green or the blue drives because they're inexpensive.
Yeah.
You want a NAS, which is going to run all the time and store lots of data.
Yep.
You probably want one of the higher level, the red drives, or
right. Western Digital had a different. They used nice, easy to remember colors.
Yeah.
For blue for standard drives, and red for NAS, and black for high capacity and high speed,
and green were relatively cheap and slow.
Right, but much better price per storage unit.
Yeah, Backblaze, I found their report and posted it. They've been doing this hard drive stats since 2013.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And it's really interesting to see that it almost doesn't matter what brand of drive you get. There are brands that are too cheap.
They notice trends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it kind of interesting to peer through.
And sometimes there's a bad batch of some component
that
affects every drive. Mm-hmm. Remember a few years ago, there was the flooding in Thailand?
Yes.
And so the component manufacturers at like the bottom of the mountain were all flooded out. So the hard drive manufacturers at the top of the mountain couldn't get any pieces.
Yeah. And so their own supply chain issue.
Yeah, hard drive prices tripled over 2 years.
I do. I think that was right before video cards started going crazy with all the Bitcoin miners.
Yeah. Actually, because the price of Bitcoin crashed, you can actually get really high-end video cards pretty cheap on the used market now, too.
And they're actually available. So,
yeah.
And we're also starting to see Raspberry Pis start to become more available now than they were.
Yeah.
And they were holding their value. You know, 3- and 4- and 5-year-old Raspberry Pis that you'd buy for $80 were continuing to be $80 or maybe even more because you simply couldn't get them on the market.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a Canikit, an 8-gig unit with a 64-gig SSD card for $139, complete kit. Mm-hmm. And that was with the on-off switch, the cables, and everything else.
Yep.
Did that come with the OS on the SSD instead of the micro SD card?
Yeah, it comes with a Linux Raspberry Pi standard boot.
Because you can connect with a USB adapter. You can run off of an SSD, like a SATA.
Mm-hmm.
And it's faster than a micro SD.
Three of my Raspberry Pi runs off of SSD. All you have to do is go into the Raspberry Pi utilities and flash a small SSD card and tell it to boot off the internal as opposed to external. You just flash it. The screen goes green. You shut it down. Hook up your SSD hard drive. And if it's got the OS on it, all of a sudden you can start loading your OS from that. Yeah, all but three of my servers do that.
It's only faster if your USB dongle for the SATA drive is the
USB-attached
SCSI standard instead of the old HID storage standard. Oh, so it's a you have to have a relatively new dongle in order to make to take advantage of that.
We talk about how sensitive spinning hard drives are. There was a video came out a few years ago. Trying to find a 14 years ago, really.
Yeah.
Somebody shouting at a rack in a data center.
Yeah.
And watching the drive speed
The error rates were
The climbing. Error rates climbed up. The speed dropped off as it was trying to error correct and reread every bit just by shouting at the rack of drives. The acoustic energy was enough to jostle the hard drives just enough.
Which is amazing because if you've ever worked in a server room, they are so loud to begin with.
But it's consistently loud.
It's white noise.
It's true. It's white noise.
It's true. Yeah. So don't scream at your hard drives. They'll get discouraged.
Yeah. Scream at your TV where it belongs.
Yeah.
I found the YouTube video for that. I'll send it over.
The Brian Cantrell one?
Brendan Gregg.
Brendan and Gregg, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the drive
just Brian Cantrell.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, it's it causes them to retry and retry and retry, and the latency shoots way up. Incredible.
Yeah. Your hard drive quits because you're yelling at it.
Yeah, it hurt its feelings.
So, Chris, you've got a child that's headed back to school in higher ed.
Yep.
What are you noticing in higher ed that students are using for technology presently, or what appears to be common?
I would say the preferred arrangement of hardware is not an iPad, but let's say a MacBook Air.
Okay, so a smaller tablet, or a smaller laptop.
Yep, an Air, one of the ones with no moving parts.
Okay,
and an iPhone, and I'll say it. Kids these days, they do virtually everything on their phones. And and the Air, sure, they do their schoolwork on it, but it's also where they consume other content.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So going to school without a TV or anything like that, no big deal. Because
Or your stereo.
Yep.
Yeah.
I brought the stereo. My roommate brought the TV. So we were set.
Yes. Yeah. No, we had the VCR.
And that's what you hooked up first before you set anything else up.
Right. Well, you gotta unpack your
priorities.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a very portable, light lifestyle.
Yeah.
In general, technology-wise, in the higher ed community. Okay.
And then maybe when they get back to their apartment or their dorm, they'll have like a, PlayStation or Xbox.
Sure.
Connected to something.
Right. And you, Steve, you also have a college student in your family, right?
No,
Or is he graduated now?
He didn't get around to graduating. He changed his mind.
Okay.
He was he wanted to be an aerospace engineer to be a mechanic on airplanes.
Yes.
And so he got into a program, and turns out that was for designing airplanes. He didn't really design that. So he worked at FBO at the airport for a while.
Oh.
And then he kind of decided that he doesn't want to be an airplane mechanic because if something goes wrong, they always go right back to the mechanics. And he didn't want to be responsible for somebody's lives.
Okay.
It's similar with a car mechanic, but
Stakes are lower.
Stakes are a little lower with a car than an airplane full of people. Yeah.
Especially with the way people are driving nowadays. Yeah.
So now he is a car mechanic at one of the car dealers locally. I love having a mechanic in the family. Come on over. He does my brakes. We're doing an oil change tomorrow.
Oh, good.
All the little things we do together.
Well, that's good bonding time, right?
And the funny thing, as he was growing up, when I grew up, computers were novel.
Yes.
And we had an Apple II in high school,
mm-hmm.
and got a Macintosh in college. It was just the right time frame. I graduated high school in 82. And by 84, when the Macintoshes first came out,
right.
We had rainbow PCs in college.
Okay.
One rainbow PC and one Macintosh. That was our computer lab.
I see.
In 84. But again, the things he was doing in middle school and high school, you know, we tried for years to getting him into the robotics club.
Yeah.
And then finally, when he was a senior, we got him involved. And he said, well, why didn't you make me do this sooner? We've been trying.
Yeah.
We've been trying. Because it is so cool.
It was the kind of thing that didn't come along until somewhat recently.
Yeah.
Okay, folks. That music tells me, I won't say wasted, but I hope you enjoyed this past 2 hours. As you, if you didn't catch it, definitely catch the podcast, because Nick was on with us for the first hour, and we got to listen to him and talk to him, and you know, everybody be reassured that he was doing fine. So, but hey, we will be back next Saturday, the same time, 166 hours, as Nick would say. So see you then, and be safe, and have a great holiday weekend.